in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to basketball great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The NBA's all-time leading scorer is celebrating his 73rd birthday on this Thursday, April 16th. Earlier this week, I reported how Kareem donated 900 pairs of protective goggles to medical workers treating coronavirus patients in San Diego, California. The goggles were a trademark for Kareem during his playing days, when he won 6 titles and 6 Most Valuable Player awards during his 20-year NBA career. I think a bigger trademark, though, was his graceful skyhook shot, which he used to help him score more than 38,000 points in the NBA. I had a chance to chat briefly with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar a couple of years ago at the Basketball Without Borders Africa camp in Johannesburg, South Africa. Kareem told me he made his first trip to Africa nearly 50 years ago.
I've been a couple of times. First time was 1971. I did a State Department tour. And I've come back once or twice since then.
In the opening remarks, they referred to Nelson Mandela several times. What are your feelings about Mr. Mandela?
Well, I thought Mr. Mandela was an incredibly charismatic figure, especially for black Americans who, you know, were observing the struggle here in South Africa. I mean, he really set an incredible example of courage and perseverance. And, in that sense, he was really a giant. And, you know, he used to box. The fact that he gave up his favorite sport to become a lawyer so he could fight apartheid, I think really explains his stature here in South Africa. He devoted his whole life to freeing this nation from a very oppressive regime.
I remember in the 60s, you were very active in the civil rights movement in the United States, Martin Luther King Jr. Can you compare their legacies of service, Mr. Mandela and Martin Luther King Jr.?
Well, I think, you know, when you talk about examples of people devoting their lives to their communities, Martin Luther King and Nelson Mandela, you know, they just jump right out at you. They could have had other lives, but they sacrificed for their people and for the cause of freedom, justice, and equality. And I think, you can't say enough about them.
In terms of legacy, Kareem, you're coming all the way to Johannesburg for a basketball development. What does that mean for your legacy to come here to Johannesburg?
Well, you know, I've tried to help the NBA in their outreach efforts. You know, I was involved in the very first Basketball Without Borders efforts, and I think it's a great thing. It's really grown, and I think it's achieved a lot.
There's a man who's achieved a lot. That's basketball great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And Kareem spoke with me in 2018 at the Basketball Without Borders Africa camp in Johannesburg, South Africa. Also celebrating a birthday on April 16th is South Sudan-born Luol Deng, the Basketball Africa League's global ambassador. Deng retired last October after 15 seasons in the NBA, and he has a special message about hand washing during the coronavirus pandemic.
Hey, everyone. This is Luol Deng, the ambassador of Basketball Africa League. Now, washing your hands has always been important, but never been as more important as now. What I like to do is turn the tap on, get your hand a little bit wet, turn the tap off. Put the soap in your hand while the tap is off. Start washing your hands. Make sure you get between your fingers, get your wrist, and get the other side of your hand, right? Keep washing your hand. Make sure your hand is as clean as it can be. We want to wash our hand for 20 to 30 seconds, right? Turn your tap back on. So you wash your hands, get in your wrist, and get in your hand. Now, the most important part, when you finish washing your hands, make sure you turn the tap off with your elbow. After you turn the tap off, let your hands dry or use a paper towel. All right? Be safe, everyone.
That's Luol Deng, the Basketball Africa League's global ambassador. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Nigeria has officially qualified one female athlete for next year's Olympic Taekwondo tournament in Tokyo. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye called Abuja, where he reached the technical director of the Taekwondo Federation of Nigeria, former Olympic bronze medalist Chika Chukwumerejie.
The Nigeria Taekwondo Federation, indeed the ministry and the NOC, like all other federations in the world, we have accepted the reality that the Olympic Games will be next year. And of course, we've adjusted our program accordingly. For us, luckily, Elizabeth, she just turned 21 last week. So it gives us a full year to get her more ready for the Olympics. So I think the timeline might actually work in our favor. So right now, the priority is just for people to stay safe and for the world to find a permanent solution to the current pandemic.
Prior to the postponement of the Olympic Games, how many of your athletes have qualified for the Games? Do you have opportunity to qualify more athletes?
Only one athlete qualified for the Olympics, Elizabeth Ayanacho. For Olympic sport of Taekwondo, there are just two opportunities. The first requires one to qualify through the world ranking, the top six. And that means that your athletes have to compete regularly over 3 to 4 year period. And of course, we didn't have that. So the only option that was available to us was the continental qualifiers, where we went with four athletes and we qualified one. Of course, the lady who qualified, no female has qualified in 16 years, since Athens 2004. And of course, no male has qualified in 8 years. So we qualified one for the Olympics and we have two on standby. Standby means that if any of the other people who qualify from the continental have any issues, maybe with doping or with drugs, they are the replacements. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. So there are no more qualifications for the Nigeria Taekwondo Federation anywhere in the world. And we are left with one person to represent us at the Olympics and two on standby.
How optimistic are your chances of making a podium performance at the Games?
Of course, if we're not optimistic, we won't even bother going. Of course, the creed of the Olympics says participation is better. But for the career of the athletes and for the ambitions of the federation, we would work hard to be on the podium. So we are definitely going to work towards it. And saying it is much different from doing it. And we are happy we have the chance, the opportunity to be on the podium and work towards it. And this is why we need support for Elizabeth Ayanacho. She needs a lot of support. She has to compete a lot internationally when all this is over. We should have to take care of her welfare. So she's in a good state of mind. And all this requires a lot of resources. I don't think we should just fold our hands and wait for the government. She has a story that is very inspiring. She has a story that can inspire a lot of females. She's in the university, so she's really a case study of how to combine education and sports. She speaks well, she's young, she's for the future. So there's a lot going on there that if we invest in, we can reap the benefits and start reaping it from next year. But right now is where we do need the support so that we can make a podium appearance next year at the Tokyo Olympics.
Do you have any message for Nigerians on the chances of the Taekwondo Federation of Nigeria at the Games?
My message to Nigerians is this, that together we're going to overcome this COVID-19 situation. Because it's quite a terrible situation. If you stay at home, there becomes an economic crisis. If you go out, there becomes a health crisis. You know, so one, those who can help those who cannot. You know, there are people all around that have needs. To the best of their ability, just a little, a lot, based on what you can do. If you can offer resources, even words of kindness and calls and checking up on people can go a long way. So let's look out for each other and be our brother's keeper. And let's also help our health infrastructure by doing what the professionals say. Let's stay at home. Let's stay safe. Let's stay clean. And while you're home, let's try and work out a bit and keep fit. And hopefully all this will pass away soon.
That's Chika Chukwumerejie, the technical director of the Taekwondo Federation of Nigeria. And Chika spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
Yes, sporting greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerejie. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out Jim Stevenson's weekly Game Room podcast via voanews.com. Jim kicked off his latest Game Room with the president of World Football's governing body, FIFA.
Football is the world's most popular sport, and while the head of football's world governing body, FIFA, knows fans are anxious to see games, Gianni Infantino has a short list of priorities.
At this moment at FIFA, we have three things in our mind, and here they are in order of priority. First, health. Health has to come first in all that we do. Second, the second is to see how we can best help the football community in this hour of need. And third, as life has slowed down, we have to see how we can use this moment to reflect and to think about the future, on how we can come out of this together better than we were before.
And he stresses the first point.
Health comes first. I cannot stress this enough. No match, no competition, no league is worth risking a single human life. Everyone in the world should have this very clear in their mind. It would be more than irresponsible to force competitions to resume if things are not 100% safe. If we have to wait a little longer, so we must do so. It's better to wait a little bit than to take any risks.
Infantino urges everyone to be safe ahead of football's eventual return.
I'm convinced that football will play a key role to bring people back together when it's safe to play again and be with our friends and families in large groups. Let's prepare for that moment. My dear friends, please do keep safe and take good care of yourselves and your families. Let's continue to follow the recommendations of the health authorities, both from your country and from the World Health Organization. See you very soon, my friends. FIFA is with you in these difficult times, and together we will win.
The president of the Italian Football Federation, Gabriel Gravina, hopes play might resume by the end of the month. But he, like other sports leaders, is very cautious.
Noi siamo nelle condizioni oggi di dover rispettare quelli che sono.
We cannot take any risks, but we also have a requirement. The conditions may not yet be in place, but we still need to make decisions on our championships. It's clear that any decision to leave uncompleted or to cancel the competition, well, you can imagine the negative consequences there could be for the football world and beyond. We all need together to send a message of hope to the country. Football has always done that, not just now, but for example, following the last earthquakes that devastated our country. Football has always signaled a moment of rebirth, a moment of hope, and I hope it will be the same now, too. Serie A is beloved by football fans around the world. It was suspended March 9th following the exceptionally deadly outbreak of coronavirus in Italy. And many fans are also waiting for basketball.
We aren't looking at many different scenarios for restarting the season, but I think it honestly is just too early, given what's happening right now, to be even able to project where we'll be in a few weeks.
National Basketball Association Commissioner Adam Silver says the rest of the month is definitely out.
We should just accept that at least for the month of April, we won't be in a position to make any decisions. I don't think that necessarily means on May 1st we will be.
Silver and the other major sports commissioners spoke with President Trump last week about the suspension of professional sports during the health crisis. The NBA commissioner says that when the time comes to bring back sports, it will be meaningful.
We know our priorities in terms of health and safety, but then factoring those things in, where will we be in May? I mean, will there be an opportunity? And I think beyond virtue of crowning a champion, what will the symbolism be of Major League Sports starting back up in this country? And I think that's what President Trump wanted to talk to us all about on that call on Saturday. I mean, it wasn't just a pep talk, but I think it was a reminder of what the meaning is of sports to Americans, to our culture in particular.
Smiling for sure, given the reduced and announced shutdown in some areas of testing.
U.S. Anti-Doping Agency CEO Travis Tigert says while the coronavirus outbreak may seem to be giving doping cheats an advantage, he says efforts to catch them remain strong.
Our investigative units continue to operate fully. Our education programs are continuing to operate. So we're doing everything we can do to ensure a level playing field as best we can in this really difficult time.
National anti-doping agencies and international sports federations typically administer about 300,000 tests annually. Tigert says a resumption of full testing is crucial when the virus lockdowns end.
It's incumbent upon us, those of us who say clean sport matters and we're going to stand up for athletes' rights, to take those challenges on. And when we put that burden on our shoulders, that means when we are fully operational, we have to execute a robust quality and quantity testing program that ensures that any of those people that try to take advantage of this time period don't get away with it and are suspended and cases are resolved before we get close to the Olympic trials or certainly the Olympic Games in the summer of 2021.
Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports
right here on the Voice of America.
I get it. And you can get Jim Stevenson's Game Room each week via voanews.com.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
My Voice of America colleague Gwen Uden reports, while the Tour de France cycling race has been postponed from June to the end of August, one former champion is keeping fit for a good cause. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The world's most famous cycling race is the latest sporting event to be added to the list of postponements due to the coronavirus pandemic. The race is now set to take place August 29th through September 20th. The rescheduled date is welcome news to 2018 Tour champion Geraint Thomas, who had his fingers crossed that the event would not be canceled. And Thomas says the postponement is good news to everyone.
I think if you had a poll and asked everyone, like, what race, you know, would you like to see go ahead, you know, if it was between the Tour and something else, then I would have thought the majority would go with the Tour, you know, just because it's, you know, it brings so much money into the sport. That's why a lot of the teams are in the sport, is for that exposure they get during the Tour. So, yeah, I think it's massive.
Thomas competes for Team Ineos on both track and road. He finished in second place at last year's Tour de France and is set to make a return in August. But first, Thomas has a virtual hill to climb in his own garage. On Wednesday, Thomas completed his first of three 12-hour rides to raise money in support of National Health Service workers across the UK. And before mounting his bike, he admitted to having a case of nerves.
We're a bit nervous about it. This morning when I woke up, I was a bit like, what am I doing? But see all the money coming in, it's makes it all worthwhile. That keeps you going. But yeah, I think it's more mentally, it's going to be just as tough really as the physical bit.
As of this report, Thomas has surpassed his goal of raising $100,000 with 2 days still to go. He says he set up his rides to mirror the shifts of NHS workers to celebrate their hard work on the front lines.
I think, you know, I just saw all the stuff in the news and you know, I have a few friends and family that are involved and, yeah, just the sacrifice that everyone's making, I think it's amazing, and I really wanted to make a small difference myself. And you know, obviously it got a bit of a profile, so wanted to try to use that and make the most of it, and you know, try and raise as much money as we could. And yeah, it's going really well. And even though it's going to be hard and it's a big challenge, but the thought of where the money's going and you know, the people it's going to help is definitely worth it.
To combat the physical and mental challenges of his virtual bike ride, Thomas eats over 8,000 calories a day and has set up a webcam for interviews and Netflix for motivation. But he says training for a ride in his garage is very different from training for the open road.
We do a lot of training on the road anyway. Like my longest ride is 8 hours 20, but obviously, on the open road, it's completely different. Like here, you're kind of stuck in a fixed position on this bike. And yeah, certainly your hands and your contact points, your undercarriage will be sore, that's for sure. And yeah, mentally as well. But like I say, you just try and think of the positives, think of why you're doing it, and yeah, just keep going.
And Thomas is determined to keep going, just as he's done at the Tour de France, famously dubbed the toughest endurance race in the world. He's conquered two of the most iconic climbs in the Tour, the Alpe d'Huez and Mount Ventoux. But he says they don't compare to the challenge of indoor cycling.
Oh, going up Alpe d'Huez and Ventoux would be easier, for sure. Yeah. I think just it's more the mundane, it's just so mundane here, you know. Obviously I've got some things going on and, you know, a few interviews and I'm on Zwift and I can ride with people, but 12 hours just stuck in the garage is totally different to riding on the road. At least, you know, going up Alpe d'Huez, you've got all the hairpins and riding on the road, and I don't know, it's just completely different. So this is definitely a challenge in itself as well.
Well, online viewers on Zwift are invited to join Geraint Thomas on his challenge. He's created maps for every shift, each with its own route. And Thomas says he'll ride at a nice, steady pace twice a day so kids who want to join him can ride along. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the April 16th edition of the show. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thank you for tuning in. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
The
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to sikus, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is VOA News via remote.